That's off.
Keith Murphy.
You gonna do something or just stand there and bleed?
Andy Fails.
You better get bright, pal. We got a show to do.
Talking more than sports.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing.
Weekdays.
Gentlemen, which brings me to my next point. Don't smoke crack.
On Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
2:03 p.m. on a Friday. It is the Murph and Andy Show. We get the weekend started here. Andy Fails, Keith Murphy, powered up by Andrew Downs, joined by our friend Scott Sipker. Hi, Scott.
So today, guys, I got home from the gym, and I look in my backyard, and you know what I see? A black squirrel.
Is that rare?
Really? Yeah. A black squirrel.
Where was it?
In my backyard.
It was in your yard?
Yeah.
Did you get a photo?
I'll tweet out a photo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll send it out. It looks very healthy. I've seen black squirrels like a few blocks to the west in Valley Junction area, but I think they're starting to migrate across 63rd. They have now infiltrated Des Moines proper.
There's a population of white squirrels in Urbandale.
That seems like bad camouflage.
I took a picture. Well, they don't have any predators around here anyway. I took some pictures of the white squirrel that I saw a few years ago. It's crazy.
People have been sending me messages saying this is very predominant in western Iowa near Council Bluffs, but they're sneaking over here, and it's cool to see. I've never seen a black squirrel that up close. It looks weird. It does.
I want to give a shout out to Brian McMillan. He sent a nice note about how he listens to the show every day and has for. He says he thinks he's heard every hour of the show for more than 13 years. That's a
wow.
It's a really nice.
Really?
Yeah. He points out, I even had the infamous Channel 5 Longhorn Network show downloaded in my podcast app before it was taken down. and then he writes, on a recent family vacation, I stopped at a convenience store and I saw these pickled eggs and thought of you, and he dropped those off with a nice
that
note.
That is so, really, really nice.
It's very considerate. So thank you,
those
Brian.
Those are
appreciate
quail
that.
Eggs. Those aren't chicken eggs. They're quail eggs.
Quail no, eggs.
Pickled quail eggs.
Well, that'll be... I've never eaten a quail egg before.
You want to try one now?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to the 2 p.m. trend.
Trending Iowa, powered by Axis, providing treatment to children and families living with autism, developmental disabilities, and behavioral needs.
Trending Iowa, the Iowa Barnstormers are home tomorrow night against the Sioux Falls Storm. It's military night, so tickets are free for the military and their families. Just go to theiowabarnstormers.com for information. You can hear the game at 7 o'clock on News Radio 1040 WHO.
I think I was gone a couple of weeks ago when the Barnstormers went to Dixie Wooten's Sugar Skulls and like held them to 13 points
or
something.
Ruined Dixie's night.
Man, and that was on the road.
It was, yeah, down in Tucson.
The Tucson,
loud tooting Dixie Wooten?
Loud. He wasn't that loud that night because they silenced the Sugar Skulls. Man, well, good. Barnstormers having a good season. New coach and went and one loss.
They lost this past weekend. Yep, so two losses. But yeah, big game against the rival Storm.
Military night's always really cool. Yes. So I appreciate them doing that.
The proposed soccer stadium and development to replace the Dyco plant got a boost today with a $5 million donation from American Equity Insurance. The Krause Group hopes to develop the area and bring a USL soccer team to Des Moines.
I saw that. That's great. They're up to $20 million now, and I'm thinking, man, they're just about there. $535 million is what they need.
Oh,
what?
My goodness.
That's what the...
what?
The... development is going to come.
Yeah, because they're going to build a stadium.
Well, they're
hotel,
building a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, a bunch of retail space, a restaurant, a brewery.
They bought the Italian team, Parma, for $100 million. That
got
is
relegated,
one-fifth,
right?
And they got relegated. But they brought back this week their goalie from like 16 years ago. So
that's the answer?
I don't know. It's going to be very rough for Parma. I hope they can get back to the top league there in Italy.
It's a storied team.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But they had a rough season.
In watching those Netflix and Amazon Prime specials on soccer, not only did it make me truly understand what it means in communities in Italy and Europe and around the world that we just don't have a perspective on. I mean, the closest I've ever seen, it looks like, you know, maybe the Tuscaloosa area of Alabama and places like that where it's everything.
Yeah, Green Bay, could be a comparable.
But it's, gosh, and when the team, what was the one we watched where the team got relegated twice? It got sent all the way down to the
Sunderland.
Bottom. Sunderland. And with the relegation comes a drastic reduction in
everything.
So you have to lay people off. You have to downsize your facilities and the building.
You have to win with worse players.
I know.
Because you can't afford good ones.
Why do they do all that? They would take money from you?
Oh, yeah. Your budget, your cap goes way, way down.
Well, you generate so much less money. So if you're in the top league, you'll get X. Like with the Big Ten, has that big payout,
TV
right?
TV deal.
But as you go down to the leagues, like Sunderland went down two leagues, that all of a sudden, they just... their profits go way, way down, and it changes your ability to actually run the team from how many chefs you have, if you even have a chef, how many custodians you have,
trainers,
how the bars function. Now, that's outside of the club, but how profitable the bars are around. I mean, it can really sink an entire area.
It is fascinating just in that. If you watch Sunderland Till I Die, or which I recommend you do, I think it's on Netflix.
Yes.
But to imagine that world with like the NFL or Major League Baseball, where those bottom teams are trying to keep from getting sent down to AAA or to some other—I mean, it is. There's no tanking, and it can be so exciting for fans and heartbreaking. It's like a whole nother level of anxiety and angst.
If the Iowa Cubs were playing for a championship, which would make them an MLB team next year.
I know. You could just see all the possibilities. It's fascinating, and we're not going to have that here in our lifetimes.
Finally, trending Iowa, tomorrow is Juneteenth, the holiday celebrating the freedom from slavery. So Des Moines City offices are closed today in observation, and events will be happening throughout the city today and tomorrow. Yesterday, President Biden signed a law making June 19th a national Juneteenth holiday.
So it is Monday or Friday, today or Monday for many places that are going to take that off.
Yeah,
I think first federal holiday in 40 years since MLK Day.
It's kind of wild. We got an email today from corporate saying, you know, it was too late in the game to make it a holiday this year for us, but next year we will observe it as a
company. How about the guys that voted against that? 14 people in Congress voted against it. That, who doesn't want another holiday? Another day off.
What? Yeah, they're afraid it's going to take away from July 4th, as if we can't keep two holidays in a single summer separate from each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem is like the Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Armed Services Day. That trio is the one that's really confusing. But we'll be able to keep this straight.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Maybe right. Different celebrations and everything.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Axis.
The Milwaukee Bucks even their series with the Nets at 3. It was a 15-point cruise.
Middleton at the right elbow against Chioza. Lifting, shooting, good! A new playoff high for Middleton with 38. My.
Chris Middleton scored 38. Kevin Durant held to a mortal 32. So the home team has won every game.
It's going to be interesting to see this game 7. I don't know, Milwaukee.
It's just cool that there is a game 7.
That choke job that they had, though, in game 5.
It could cost them the series.
It could. Yeah. If Kyrie comes back, we'll see how it goes. Now, this NBA playoffs has really been will be dictated, it seems like, not by who is the best team, but by who is the healthiest team. And right now, Milwaukee looks like the healthiest team. So I'd like, because Drew Holiday is my favorite player, I would love to see them actually win the title, something we didn't think was possible for Giannis in Milwaukee. But because of the attrition of health, it looks like, I would say, they're going to be favored to win the NBA title.
He's a two-time MVP, and he had to be smart enough to pass up shots. Because the net strategy was, we're going to leave you wide open
And go Middleton ahead and has that. To be the closer for that team because Giannis is so scared to shoot free throws. So what the formula they did last night was much smarter than the way they played the rest of the series. It's incredible how talented they are and how just mentally vacant they seem at times with their basketball IQ.
76ers Hawks from Atlanta tonight. The Hawks are up 3-2. They can close this out.
That would be incredible.
They're kind of the surprise team of this postseason. Right?
They have Trae Young is becoming a... They have nobody on that team that you would know coming into the season, really. Definitely not a veteran presence. I mean, at least Phoenix has Chris Paul, or had him. And it's just really incredible. Again, strange year because of all the injuries. I don't think this is much of a series if Embiid is 100% healthy. But what is Ben Simmons going... I mean, that guy, he's so perplexing. I just don't understand what you do with him.
Yeah, credit to him for answering the questions, but it is definitely in his head. Trae Young, the thing you notice about him, it's hard not to notice, is his hair. And
it's thin.
It's thin, and he's growing it out. I got a haircut yesterday, and I realized it had been too long because I was starting to get that Trae Young look, you know, where you could see like big spots on my head because. When you're balding, the longer the hair is, the more noticeable.
The more bald
it is.
You look.
Yeah. So I was like, "Oh man, I'm starting to have Trae Young's hair. I got to get in there and get this chopped down some." But man, he's been great, and he's so confident out
there.
He's
so small.
His hair doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's the type of player who I don't think you like if your team is playing against him.
Well, there are Cyclone fans that would agree with you. Jazz Clippers from L.A., the Clips are up 3-2. I feel like the Jazz are going to win this.
I don't know. If now, playoff P shows up...
Playoff P's not showing up again.
I do not like Paul George, so I'm rooting again. I don't like the Clippers because Nick Rynkowski likes the Clippers. So I really think that I want to see Utah. I want to see Utah-Milwaukee final. That's what I want to see.
Stupid quickie poll, as suggested by listener Daniel Beck. So you got some help on this one this week, Scott.
Yeah, that was nice. I could just go out with you to Cooney's last night and not even have to worry about it.
What do you call someone from Des Moines? Is it a Des Moinian, Des Moinite, a Des Moiner, or something else? And if it's something else, let us know on the reply.
I'm glad this question's been asked. I've never even, like... I know San Diego person is a San Diegan. I don't know what a Des Moines... What is a Des Moines person?
Des Moinean?
I don't know. Is there an official answer to
this? I think it's a Des Moinean.
Des Moines quoi?
Des Moinean?
I think, yeah, we're Des Moineans.
Somebody must know. Is there somebody out there who knows what it is?
No, it's a Des Moinean.
It's not a Des Moinean.
Yes, it is.
You're not going to turn this into Spider-Man.
It's a Des Moinean.
It's not a Des Moinean.
Des Moiniac.
It's a Des Moiniac?
No, I'm just...
Oh.
We need Leo Landis from the State Historical Society to call in. He probably knows.
It's French, so it's a Des Moinier. Isn't it?
I don't know.
Does Leo Landis know? Leo Landis listening right now?
Leo knows everything.
284-5966, 284-KX. No, Leo, break off a call.
I'm pretty sure it's Des Moinier or Des Moines.
And do you have to, like, to be a San Diegan or a Des Moiniac... do you have to be born in that town? Like, I know Jenny would qualify because she was born in Mercy Hospital. She's lived here all 51 years.
Like born in the hospital in city limits?
Are you a West Des Moinean now?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's where I pay my taxes, yeah.
Yes,
is that,
you are.
So that means like you don't have to be born somewhere?
A West Des Moiner? No. Well,
Urbandaler? A West Des Moiner and
yeah,
two Des Moiniacs.
You would say that I would say I'm a native St. Louisan, even though I wasn't technically.
What are people from St. Louis called? That's another Louisan, French term.
St. Louisan.
It is a St. Louisan?
Mm-hmm.
That's
St. Louisan, yeah.
Des Moines. St. Louisan.
Des Moinean.
And so you
San you're, Francisco. You're a San Franciscan. Los Angeles. A Los Angelin.
No.
A Los Angelesman.
You're a Mount
New Yorker, a Bostonian.
You're a Mount Carmelian.
Oh, I'd probably go Mount Carmelite.
is this Stefan? Stefan, is that right? Stefan, can help us with this.
Well, I cheated. According to Google, this is reading from the phone here. The crossword solver found 20 answers to the Des Moines natives. So there's supposedly 20 different answers per variant of crossword puzzles.
How do you have this fancy technology that's not available to the rest of us? All right, let's look that up. Thank you, Stefan. 20 answers? We only gave three here.
There have to be some insulting
there
ones.
There has to be an official
Somebody on
answer.
Twitter said monks.
The monks?
Because that's what Des Moines means.
Yeah, I thought it meant the mountains.
Oh, well, more on that in Scott School, everybody. I try to tie this together.
We won't spoil it for you.
Yeah.
I think Des Moinesian.
I thought that Des Moines was the mounds.
No.
It's
no.
Monks.
What are you... You've lived here for decades.
I know. It's not mounds?
No.
It's monks?
Mounds? Where are the mounds around here, Keith?
There's a few.
I guess the correct reply from you would be, where are the monks, Scott?
Where are the monks, Scott?
Well, they were here. Anyway, more on that in Scott School. I don't know the answer here. It feels like this radio show, much like how you labeled it the Pewter Trophy, we have the power with these radio waves to come up with the right answer here, whatever we want it to be.
I feel like there's a T-shirt in it.
Des Moiner would be the worst. I hope it's not that.
Yeah, Des Moiner sounds like you've done something wrong.
Des Moiner. Yeah. A Des Moinesian. Des Moinesian, that puts too much on the end of it.
Coming up next, we will have Scott School, but that's not all. We'll have more, including
Deep Experience.
Fairway Online Shopping. That's right. Add or coming soon to your local Fairway. You can now shop online for curbside pickup at your local Fairway. Visit shop.fairway.com to send us your order today. We can't wait.
Scott School. Scott School. Scott School is cool.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Scott School.
I think you got that one down. That's a keeper right there.
That's Miss Christine. She's now performing, I think, tonight in Iowa City. If you're around that part, MissChristineMusic.com. Check it out. And then afterwards, go up to her and say that, hey, really like that song. Today, I want to expand on our stupid quickie poll. So the namesake of Des Moines is the Des Moines River. The river gets its moniker from the French wording of the Rivière des Moines, or however you pronounce that in French, which actually translates to River of the Monks.
Of the Monks.
Of the Monks. What is less
certain... Which is short for monkeys.
That not true. No. This is Scott School where we only say facts. What is less certain is when we go farther back down the rabbit hole to ask where did the French get the name for the river, well, it's most likely derived from the Illinois Algonquin clan named the Moingona. Now, the meaning of Moingona is a bit up for debate. Experts seem to lean toward it meaning people by the portage, but some think it translates to clan of the loon. There's a third option that comes with some controversy, that the meaning of Moingona was an insulting name used by a rival tribe, like the clan of the loon, but this one's more extreme. That translates to say that Moingona means excrement-faced, which is the censored version.
Yeah.
And that's Scott School, everybody.
Scott School, Scott School, Scott School is cool.
Yeah.
Jeremy at 284-5966 has a question or a thought for Scott.
Well, last week, Scott said, apparently he's been reading up online, and the popular thing these days is saying that Indiana Jones is unnecessary to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Correct.
And while I agree that once they get to Nepal into that little bar, doesn't really do anything. They would have taken the medallion and done everything. But my question is, how do they know to go to Nepal in the first place? They know because the plane that Indiana Jones gets on to go there has a German spy who's following him. So if it wasn't for Indiana Jones, they wouldn't know to go to Nepal in the first place.
So you're saying it's Indiana Jones' stupidity that allows the movie to go forward.
Why is it his stupidity?
Why is he's trying to find... He's trying to talk to Marion's dad.
He should know there's a German spy on the plane.
Well, not necessarily. Well, he's a spy.
A spy.
He knows how to work in the shadows.
What are you talking about?
Archaeologist.
I'm saying that's beside the point, whether he's a brilliant guy or getting followed. That's the fact is he's followed from the United States to Nepal. Once they get there, he's useless. Not useless, but, you know, it makes for a great story. but they don't know to go to Nepal to find the medallion without Indiana Jones.
Jeremy, you seem to be a doubter of how much the Nazis really wanted this. I believe the Nazis would have found a way to get to know to go to Nepal without spying on Indiana Jones. It was just the most convenient option they had.
But you don't know that. You know, we assume that they'll be able to get it. But what I'm saying is, they couldn't get there without his help, whether he helped them on purpose or not.
I'm glad that Jeremy didn't let this go.
I am too.
I've been stewing on it, and I think Scott's the kind, and I don't know him personally, although he did give me some chess pointers yesterday.
That's right.
I think Scott's the kind that he grabs on, and I don't know that I really believe this, but he grabs on to the most recent.
I just plagiarized the
He probably thinks that Daniel LaRusso's crane kick was illegal in Karate Kid.
It was.
So, you know, well, we don't know that either, because in the general rules, going deliberately after a joint is against rules, and Cobra Kai should have been disqualified for that. So we don't know what rules they're following. I'm just saying.
What kind of rules did they have at that tournament? Because sweeping the leg was apparently okay. All right, Jeremy, thanks for calling. I'm glad you got that off your chest, and we'll try to keep...
It's been a long week, me keeping that in.
I can tell, and we appreciate that. That's what we're here
you,
for.
Jeremy.
We're here for you, Jeremy. Thank you. Did we should... We still haven't established why when they open the Ark, does everybody's face melt, but theirs doesn't because they keep their eyes closed?
Well, I guess you don't understand how the supernatural works, Keith.
You don't look directly at it.
No.
You're okay.
You don't look at all. No. You don't look at all.
They turn their head away.
All right, let's get some more brought to you by Bet Rivers.
If you really want more.
More is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Today is National Go Fishing Day, everybody.
Well, you're going fishing.
Might do a little. Yeah. I might get to do a little bit of fishing. Let's look at the biggest fish caught here in Iowa. Some Iowa State records.
All right. What do you got?
Okay. Biggest blue catfish was 74 pounds, 8 ounces out of the Missouri River.
Wow. That's a big fish.
It is a big fish.
Isn't that your old call, Keith, your home run call? That's a big old fish? Wasn't that your home run call in the 90s?
No, he's really talking about a big old fish.
We used to catch fish. The originator of, in Iowa, big fish is John Campbell. Do you know John Campbell at all over at KCRG?
Yeah,
you do, don't you?
Absolutely. Great guy.
Great guy, hard worker.
And a really good fisherman, and a guy who loves the boundary waters and loves to canoe.
Biggest, John Campbell does?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good outdoorsman. Buffalo, there was a buffalo fish, 64 pounds. There's a 50-pound common carp caught in Glenwood Lake. Biggest channel catfish is 38 pounds. The second biggest fish ever caught in the state of Iowa is a flathead catfish out of Lake Ellis, 81 pounds. Jeez. It's a big, gnarly flathead. 46 pounds for the freshwater drum. A grass carp of 61 pounds is the state record. Now, the largemouth bass record in Iowa is only 10 pounds, 14 ounces. And Bryce Miller damn near beat that one day he was fishing with me. And we were at a buddy of Bryce's out in Earlham who had some small farm ponds. And Bryce pulled a fish out of that pond with a mouth big enough to swallow a toaster. It was huge. It was like, I can't believe a fish that big lived in such a small pond. We got a picture.
Talk
of it.
Talk about being a big fish in a small pond. Living it up.
50-pound muskie, 50 pounds, 6 ounces is the state record. For northern pike, it's 25 pounds, 5 ounces. Biggest fish ever caught in the state of Iowa, again, out of the Missouri River, paddlefish of 107 pounds. Jeez. The state record for a striper is out of Lake Rathman, 9 pounds, 4 ounces. And out of West Okoboji comes the state record tiger muskie at 27 pounds, 2 ounces.
Next week, can you do the state record for smallest fish?
Smallest fish ever caught?
Yeah.
I've caught a couple of them.
Yeah, right. Guys have a better chance of being on that list, maybe. Speaking of water, Des Moines Water Works has had to back up the Raccoon River for the sake of supplying us with enough water. They have raised up those iron flashboards along the Lowhead Dam, And those were installed in 1924. They've only had to be raised 5 times in the last 20 years, with one of those times being just last fall.
Jeez.
Normally measuring at about 4,000 cubic feet per second. The river is currently sitting at about 125 cubic feet per second. Jeez.
Stop watering your lawns. It doesn't matter. The grass will be okay.
Really, okay. Yeah, unless you just installed a new sod lawn, stop watering your lawns. I mean, they say your lawn can go 30 to 60 days dormant in the summer.
And you don't have to mow back as much.
It stinks to have a brown lawn when you had such a beautiful green lawn just a few weeks ago, but you're just going to flush money down the toilet. You're not going to save it at this point. American Equity Investment Company, you pointed this out already, Andrew, has donated $5 million to the stadium project downtown. They need to get the Dyco plant area all clear first, but then they can start putting some of this to work.
And there's,
I guess,
some grant money that they're trying to get as well. I think $27 million on top of the $20 million they've already raised that they're hoping to get.
Should bring you up to $47 million, but they're thinking the whole project is going to be $535 million. It is time for Tell Me Something Good. This really is good news. If you have ever signed up for a free trial for a service, you know how easy it can be to get on board, and how impossible it can be to break free.
Yes.
New legislation that's been introduced hopes to change that. The Unsubscribed Act, put forward by Senators Brian Schatz, John Thune, Raphael Warnock, and John Kennedy, aims to force companies to make it easier and more obvious to consumers on how to get out of their subscriptions and keep people from getting charged because they couldn't figure the process out. It would also force companies to notify customers when their free trials were ending so they could make the decision to opt out in a timely fashion if they felt they needed to.
I'm all for this, man. I put reminders on my calendar because you know about these trials are running out. Or how frustrating is it when you're signing up for something, you can get a person immediately and they're glad to take your credit card and your money and all that stuff, but when you have a complaint or you want to end your service, you just can't get a person.
You cannot get them. Or when you just want to unsubscribe to something, and it's that tiny little word you got to find there. It's the smallest font there is. Hit unsubscribe, and then it pops up a new window asking you to enter your email address. They're like, which email address do you want us to unsubscribe from?
We're just being polite.
Well, you know. You already know you sent me an email at that address. But the moment you enter that into a new window, you know that somebody else is going to get it. A new YouGov poll of more than 17,000 Americans finds most people believe the 1970s and 1980s were the best decades for music. Overall, 22% of people chose the 80s as the best decade for music.
Come on.
21% chose the 70s.
I think you choose whatever decade you were in your formative, like teen years,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that.
Well, I would totally agree with this, though.
I mean, I'd pick the 80s.
The 70s, well,
the
70s.
Were just awful for everything.
The 80s were great for music, though. I mean, you have to think about how much good music is in the 80s. I mean, just think about it.
Compared to how much bad music there is?
There's bad music in every
decade. Bad music all
there
the time.
There is,
yeah.
But, I mean, there's less bad music in the 70s and the 80s.
The 70s is loaded with great music, but
yes.
So is the 80s. I mean, the 80s, you're not thinking the whole decade is Flock of Seagulls, are you?
No, but essentially rock music went to die in the 80s.
No.
Yes.
Now, come on now.
It did. With Poison is a popular band.
You're talking hair bands.
They have
Van Halen and
Rush
are still
music playing.
Led Zeppelin had an album in the 80s.
Poison. Whitesnake. Yeah. Come on, you want
every
me to keep
decade
going?
Had yeah. Every decade had bad music, no doubt. Okay, so over the remaining decades, 14% chose the 60s, 14% chose the 90s, 6% said the 2000s, and only 6% like the 1950s or earlier. Only 3% what?
Not many people left from that era.
No. Only 3% think the 2010s are the best. Of course, musical preference does depend on age.
Boom.
Millennials are most likely to say the 90s had the best music at 23%,
yep,
while Generation X prefer the 1980s at 38%. Baby boomers more likely to say the 70s was the best decade. Well, they had a lot of 60s in there, too, but they still picked the 70s. While the silent generation prefer music made in the 50s.
That's who calls it the silent generation? That's the name? The silent generation?
What generation is that?
Rock fans are most likely to say the 80s and 70s were the best decades, while pop fans chose the 80s. Yeah, was there pop in the 70s? I mean, I guess there was. I just can't think of it. R&B fans prefer the 70s and the 80s, and hip-hop fans prefer the 90s. Country fans prefer the 1980s.
The silent generation is just before baby boomers. It's between the greatest generation and the baby boomers.
Okay. So you had to look that up. Like,
they lost the name lottery. Like, they're the silent generation.
It's because they didn't have the greatest generation fought World War II. The silent generation wasn't old enough yet, and then the baby boomers are the kids of the people who fought World War II. So it's kind of like Gen X right now. They kind of get lost in the shuffle. You know, there's a millennials versus boomers, and Gen X is just kind of there in the middle. That's kind of what the silent generation is.
The people that came before them were known as the greatest generation, and they're labeled the silent generation. Man, does that suck.
They were the greatest generation's kids.
Although many of those are boomers, right? Like my parents are boomers, and their parents fought in World War II.
Yeah, boomers would be like 19. I guess the silent generation would technically be my parents because they were born during the war.
So yeah, 28 to 45, it says, is the silent generation.
That'd have been my parents. Okay, moving on. That was a lot of numbers. Jeez.
God, my head hurts.
15th annual Global Peace Index was just released, revealing that global peacefulness has fallen overall.
Yeah, no doubt.
Boy, you don't say.
Shocked.
Overall, 87 countries have improved their peacefulness, while it's deteriorated in 73 countries. Iceland, once again, ranks as the most peaceful country in the world, an honor it has held since 2008. As for the United States, you might imagine we land pretty low on the list. Yeah, 122 out of 163 countries.
Ew.
On the list, yeah. Well, we're always shooting each other up.
Honestly, kind of surprised me. It's not lower.
The top 10 most peaceful countries in the world: Iceland, New Zealand, Denmark, Portugal, Slovenia, Austria, Switzerland, Ireland, Czech Republic, Canada.
Coincidentally, all places where marijuana is legal.
This is a great point, Murph.
It's not true, by the way.
Yeah, they're all doing pretty well.
Andy was thinking about it. He's like, is that right?
I don't know. Yeah. I imagine it might be.
Everybody's just relaxed.
Yeah, all right.
Looking for snacks.
The least peaceful nation, Afghanistan, number one again.
Jeez, yeah, I guess.
Held that for the last 4 years. The least peaceful nations list: Afghanistan, Yemen, Syria, South Sudan. Here's all the places that you cannot book a ticket to with your Orbitz app.
Yeah, would you take a vacation to any of these
South
places?
Sudan, Iraq, Somalia, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Libya, Central African Republic, and good old Russia.
Russia.
A new LendingTree survey finds the average person will spend $190 on dad this Father's Day.
My kids need to step up their game.
Right.
$190?
They spent $219 on mom.
Well, that's not nice.
Goes, yeah. Millennials, though, will spend much more on dad, on average, $403.
Hang on. Am I the only one that doesn't have this Father's Day experience? $400? Are you getting $400
worth of stuff? Well, the millennials are all living with them. They owe them that much.
it's rent. Rent is due on the 20th.
Are you going to buy your dad $400 worth of stuff?
No, I'm not. No. My dad would be upset with me if I bought him $400 worth of stuff.
That's a lot of money.
I got kids, man. What are you doing?
Ever spend...
You probably sent your dad a book or something,
right? I didn't ever spend $400 on my dad for
anything.
Your dad would have slapped you across your face if you would have done that.
He just...
Too responsible. He's very responsible.
He didn't... I don't think he could name one thing that he wanted for $400.
My dad buys things.
I would have bought it for him.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I would get him good gifts and stuff, but they weren't $400.
If I get another pair of socks, I'm upset now.
You should be. But the millennial spent $432 on mom. The truth is, most dads don't really want you to spend money on them.
That's not my case. I want to give kids, if you're listening, $400 each.
Problem is with each, a lot of kids, that's essentially you are the one paying for that present. So, of course, you want something cheap. Dads want, in descending order here, a special dinner, a thoughtful card, nothing that costs money. Is third. Peace and quiet time to myself. Something handmade. A tech-related gadget, says only 9% of dads. My chores done for me. Sports-related merchandise, sports-related outing, or a practical gift like a tie or a mug. Don't get your dad a mug.
Don't get anybody a mug.
Don't buy anybody a mug.
And also, can I give some corporations a little feedback here? Stop putting your logo on mugs and giving them to people. Don't do it anymore. We have too many mugs. We've topped it out.
It's just a heavy piece of trash.
Nobody needs another mug in their house.
A coffee mug?
No. Everybody has enough of those mugs.
AD, if you have a white 1460 KXNO coffee mug, I would love to put that in the cupboard.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if I can get those, I'll put them up on the website for a store. I bet we'll sell a bunch of them.
No one's going to buy a mug.
Wait, you don't have a full cabinet of coffee mugs already?
I only want to drink coffee out of white mugs, and Jenny has a several...
Wait. Hold on. We just hit on something we need to dive a little deeper into.
Why?
The coffee,
white mug?
The coffee doesn't look right in a dark mug.
Coffee doesn't look
right.
Anything. Period. No, it doesn't matter.
No, it's opaque.
It doesn't taste good if it's in a dark mug and it doesn't look right and I don't really want to try it.
You think the color of the mug affects the taste?
The coffee has to be in a white mug.
Wait. Do you drink just black coffee?
Yes.
Okay, so it is kind of invisible in a dark mug.
It looks long. If it's hot, you might even burn your chin because you can't see where the level is. I only drink coffee out of a white mug.
That's really arbitrary.
That's really odd.
Aren't your mugs stained?
Well, in the bottom, it stains a little bit.
Gross.
But I try to leave.
Well, I've never cared at all. I just want it to be a big enough.
I think the people are with me on this.
White mug.
Wouldn't you choose a white mug? Why do you think restaurants have white mugs out there? It's a nice contrast.
They got white everything, white plates.
Coffee is just perfect in a white mug.
Yeah. Well, I just never thought of it before.
I don't want, but this list of what was last? Oh, tie
a practical
mug.
Gift like a tie or a mug.
Was it like right above a condom?
That's too late
for Father's Day. Yeah, exactly.
Too late.
I don't want a brother. Here you go.
Your dad. Don't make any more of you. Okay. Happy Father's Day.
There's enough of us.
Here's a basket of condoms.
Here is to putting a limit on your run as Father's Day gift subject. And finally, we'll close it out with today's stupid criminal, who is from Scotland, actually. This is from the Scotland Sun newspaper. John Cameron is reported to have a fear of flushing his toilet. That fear was spread throughout his neighborhood of Perth, Scotland, after he tossed his used toilet paper out his fourth floor window and onto the street below.
Jeez.
Passersby could see and smell the bodily goodness that Cameron had tossed out and reacted just as you'd expect. The fear was based on Cameron's claim his toilet was prone to flooding, which was exacerbated by the fact that he was in an upstairs flat. Because of the incident, Cameron spent 32 days in custody. He had done this for a long, long time. He would wipe his butt and throw it out the window and then just let it sit there on the street. Somebody called the police on him. Yeah. Spent 32 days in jail, fined over $4,000, and then he had to clean up the environmental hazard that he created, which his neighbors had said he'd been doing for over a year, throwing his used toilet paper out the window onto his street.
So on the toilet paper was, and he just threw it out on the street.
That's just disgusting. I mean, really, have you ever heard it? Every now and then I'll hear some weird story about a person who throws their toilet paper in the garbage.
Yeah, well, they do that in some European countries because they can't flush.
But in the then you got to do something about that, all right? Your responsibility ain't over after you put it in the garbage.
Oh, yeah, you have to get rid of it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I have a story, but I can't share it.
This guy...
No, you just put it in the trash, and it has a lid, and then the... Why would you have... You don't have to take the trash out when you're done. It's going to get full. That's what it's there for.
You would leave your dirty toilet paper in somebody else's garbage can for somebody else to take out?
If it's there and that's the culture, yeah. Yeah,
that's a terrible culture.
When we come back, the week in Iowa unnecessary
prices.
AD, thank you for not having my mic on there. Yeah, You're always looking out for me, and I appreciate it. You really helped me there. It gives me a chance to wish Anna a happy anniversary out celebrating with her husband on Sailorville Lake, listening to the Murph and Andy Show and enjoying some Busch beers.
Nice.
Cheers to you guys. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day, the AD Squared, the most highly anticipated one of the week.
Yeah, this goes out to Anna and her husband. Happy anniversary. It's Friday, so some parental advisory is necessary. None of these bleeps are necessary. It's all innocent conversation. A lot of it was had right here on this show, but I have placed bleeps to make you hear things that aren't actually being said. So what you hear is on you, not on us. It's This Week in Iowa, unnecessary censorship.
Scott Sipker joins us here back in studio this week. Didn't see you last week. You were down in Pella.
Yeah, doing a little f***ing down there. Glad we did that last week instead of today.
We have a new d*** being put in. Jenny said she needed a new d***, so...
An additional one or going in place of one that was already there?
Just a more spectacular dick. Just, you know, bigger, wider.
But he now claims he was actually eaten by a whale.
I've seen the photo of this guy in his hospital room. I mean, he looks
Does he have whale marks?
Well, he looks like he's been f***ed up.
The guy broke into his house to take a shit. The guy who broke in replied, I had to. Broke a glass pane out of a door using a ceramic garden gnome.
To take a shit.
So if you're already in the garden, but don't you just use the hose?
Hey, it's the Fanatics, and we want to see your...
We don't want to see it. We want to pimp it out.
And I spoke with my penis today. My penis says things are not looking good. Mike Penick, sweet corn dude.
That is especially good. Nicely done, AD. That's a lot of work each week. We appreciate you and all your co-producers out there.
Yes,
there's some people working for you now.
A lot of people let me know now when they hear something. Even if, like, on podcasts, I get a tweet, hey, on Thursday at the 35-minute mark of Hour 2 podcast, Andy said this thing. Make sure you go back and check it out.
Hey, you'll take the help, right?
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Quickie polls are presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
Yeah, these are important today. Tune in. Of these choices, which burrito is best? Beef, your runaway winner at 45%. 30% will say chicken. 20% go with pork. And only 5% want a bean burrito.
Magical fruit.
It's like a fart roll, right? How do you keep your phone? 49% have their phone always on silent. 40% toggle back and forth between silent and the ringer on. And only 11% always have their ringer and alerts on.
Hmm.
What do you call someone from Des Moines?
Oh, here we go.
50% say a Des Moinian. That sounds like some sort of a...
Possessed person.
Person from the planet Des Moines.
Des Moinian, okay.
Something else, 25%. 15% say a Des Moiner, and 10% say a Des Moinite.
Royal Mile inbox at Murph_Andy. Bondu TJ gets it. I use white coffee mugs too, Murph. I totally get it. I will absolutely drop off a white mug for you with my logo on it. Authentic construction out of Bondurant. See? Don't listen to
no
Scott.
No more mugs.
White coffee mugs are welcome. Great job, guys. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Fanatic.